today on Real Radio.
Every one of us, as God heals us in our lives and gives us these victories over these sins that beset us, guess what? The very thing that was destroying and holding you back becomes an awesome power witness tool to others. It's remarkable.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. The prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. Now, God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future. The best example? The coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 and part 2 of this message from Isaiah chapter 20, we saw how Isaiah became a walking, living, and breathing parable to reveal God's plan for the future. Isaiah even walked naked and barefoot among his people to warn them of what will happen if they don't turn from their sin. We also learned about the nature of sin and how to fight against it. Now in part 3 of chapter 20, we'll continue the attack on sin and what it's doing in our lives. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we need to be honest with ourselves. We can never have the victory as long as we avoid the truth of our sin. We all have the God-given power to choose, and no force, not even Satan, can make us sin when we've decided not to. And now continuing his lesson called Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The second thing is this regarding disarming the power of sin and defeating the nature of it in our lives. Be decisive against a specific sin. Be decisive about it. Viewing it as an invader. You know that Satan lies to us, and I'm wondering if you've ever actually recognized his voice when he says things like this that you don't even get. It's just a little sin. That's not you talking to you. It's him talking to you. He uses your voice. Oh, it's just, how about this one? This is one of his best lines ever. Everybody does it. That's him. Do you recognize him? Everybody does that. Oh, how about this one? Who's gonna know? Or here's another one. This one's really subtle. You've been doing it for so long, nothing's happened. How about this one? Doesn't God want you happy? Surely he wants you happy. Have you noticed this is what Satan will do in your life? He'll say things like this. Actually, before he says anything, he takes out an arrow and he dips it into temptation. He pulls it back and he shoots right at you this stem of broccoli. Okay, and it's coming. And my mind would say, oh, yeah. No, wait, I can't. Oh, yeah. No, I can't. Oh, wow, I can't. While the attack is underway, listen, everybody, listen, this is us, this is you, this is us now. He's doing it to all of us. He'll do it tomorrow. He might even do it on the way home. He'll shoot the arrow, and you'll start, oh, come on, you know what? God is so gracious. He's so forgiving. Nobody's perfect. It's okay. God is kind. He knows. You've been so good. You've been hanging, strong, and it's okay. Watch this. Okay. And you eat it, right? You know what his next words are? How could you? How could you have done this? You've not only sinned against yourself, you have so sinned against God. You are clearly a hypocrite. You are clearly a liar. You are clearly not saved. God clearly can't forgive you. You sinned against him so directly, so in his face, and he saw it. you're condemned. The same voice that says, go, it's okay, go, it's all right. The moment you cross the line, his voice says to you, you! Is he not the accuser of the brethren day and night, says the Bible? You ever recognize that scenario in your life? Think of it. Remarkable. Be decisive about that sin. Grab it and say no more to this. Lord, in Jesus' name. Some of you, listen, I talked to some of you. You're hooked on tobacco, alcohol, caffeine, whatever. It's like God is telling me to stop this. Whatever it might be. Sex. Money. What doesn't matter? Whatever God's talking to you about. Take it to him. Take it to him. Say it and be decisive about it. Treat it as an invader into your life. Notice, you will agree, it's not causing you to advance with Jesus, is it? You're not getting stronger with the Lord. You're not more free. The more you let it hang around and invade your life in your home, the more bound you are, aren't you? The less powerful you are, aren't you? The less joyful you are, aren't you? It's exactly what David wound up doing with Bathsheba when he confessed his sin and he announced to the Lord, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. And he confesses and he says, now, Lord, receive my broken heart and listen, forgive me and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And oh, by the way, you restore me, Lord, and I will teach sinners the way. Every one of us, as God heals us in our lives and gives us these victories over these sins that beset us, guess what? The very thing that was destroying and holding you back becomes an awesome power witness tool to others. It's remarkable how redemptive he is. Be decisive against it. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Is that true or false, church? True or false? True. It's true. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But to the life he lives to God. True or false? True. Verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Why is that? Because Jesus died. I'm dead. Because Jesus is risen, I'm risen. Jesus died at the cross. Listen, the moment I came to faith in Christ, Jesus died at the cross, Jack died at the cross. But Jesus is risen from the dead, Jack is risen from the dead. It's what the Bible teaches. See, that's crazy. Hey, I love it. But listen, be alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. This is fun. Ephesians 4, 22. So, Paul says that you put off, the word put off is shove away. It means to deflect. As something's arriving at you, actually, as the arrow is coming with broccoli stuck to it, deflect it. Be like the ninja dude, you know, deflect it. It's coming, deflect it. Put off, the Bible says, concerning your former conduct. Isn't that great? Notice, isn't this encouraging? He's talking to born-again Christians, and Paul is telling us your former conduct, the way you used to live. Oh, one of the great things about being a believer is you're going to be attacked by the things of your former conduct. Have you ever had your past visit you? You ever have a thought about the past? Somebody asked me recently, are you going to go to your high school reunion? Why on earth would I do that? I mean, I'm dead serious. Listen, I'm going to cut you off at the pass. I already heard it. Oh, Pastor, you should go there and share Christ with them. Jesus can send someone else to share Christ with them. I'm not the only person on the planet that can share the Lord with them. I just know I can't go. That's gone at the cross. Are you with me? You understand that? Okay. So listen, that's the past. It's gone. It's gone. It has no power anymore. Why? Because Christ died and he rose again from the dead. Listen, God says you, Jack, died in Christ and you rose again in newness of life through Christ. Yeah. We're new. That's how we are new in him. Ephesians 4, verse 24 says, and that you put on, that's an amazing thing. The word put on means to actually, it's an odd word. It means to sink into a garment. I don't know, understand that kind of, that's what the word means. To sink into a garment. What does that mean? Ladies, does that mean something to you? I don't know, to sink into a garment? It means to be enveloped with a new look. That's what it means. To be enveloped. According to the Bible, you've got a whole new nature that's saved in Christ, that you now, when sin comes knocking at the door, it should, in a way, from the past, no longer recognize who you are. You open the door, and there you are in all of this new garb, all of this new dress, clothing. It's Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ. Christian, if you and I would remember that tomorrow, all day tomorrow, you'd be shocked to see how much victory you have. Tomorrow, tonight, do it. Watch what happens. If you've got to write it on your hand or somehow send yourself an email or a text, do it. I am new. I'm clothed in Christ, and I can put off the old man, and I put on the new man. You listen, you meditate on that. You just take that from tonight, and you take it tomorrow to your world, and watch what happens. I promise you, based upon the power of God, not myself. Watch what happens. You don't need to know. It's not for you to know. I got to tell you, the last week and a half, there's just been an attack against me. Nothing from external, all inside. And you know what? You know where my victory came? It sounds so remedial, huh? It sounds so small, and yet it's so powerful. You know what the victory was for me? The victory was this. I'm new in Christ. I'm new. That was my victory. I would say, oh, I need to pray longer. I need to read more Christian books. No, you know what the answer was? The answer was, I'm new. I'm a new creation. Wait a minute. This plague that's all going on inside, that's dead. It's death. It's depressing. It's dark. I'm new. And listen, what got me out of it? It took about 3 days to get me out back into the sunshine, spiritually, so to speak. And it was that I'm new. You know what? That's not me. I'm new. Jesus died to give me life. Amen. These thoughts are death. These thoughts are dark. These thoughts are depressing. Wow. And you know what? Just that simple truth. You could feel the fog left spiritually, emotionally. I tell you guys too much about me. It's true. Examples, listen. Examples? I don't know, but when you put off the old and put on the new, put off the old Jack and put on Christ, the reality of that is, in my opinion, the reality for me, I'm aware of the natural part of that. So why can't it be true spiritually when the spiritual is more true than the natural? If I have to wear a suit, I act different. Do you do the same thing, or is it me? I just feel like I have to be responsible. I have to act responsible. I said, Jack, you have a tie. I'll be wearing a tie for Easter. It's a big deal. My daughter went out and bought me a tie, and it's like, because I just didn't have the guts to do it myself. It's like, oh, I used to wear a tie. It's 13 years I had to wear a tie every day, and it's like, Satan invented ties and suits. But you know what, but honestly, though, you put on a suit, and it's like, all right. You kind of even walk straighter. You know what I mean? People expect more out of you when you're wearing a suit. There's good stuff to that, I guess, you know? But when I'm wearing a suit on the inside, though, on the inside, I'm wearing board shorts and flip-flops on the inside. I did a wedding with a Presbyterian pastor. I was at a Presbyterian church, and I couldn't do the service because the Presbyterian church would not allow a non-Presbyterian person to do the service unless a Presbyterian pastor was on the platform. It was awesome. The guy goes, hey, dude, I don't make up the rules, but you got to do this. I'll stand over there like I'm not here. Do your thing. I said, oh, that's good. That's cool. So we did the service, and we went back after the service into the office, and the guy took off his robe, and he was going surfing. He had flip-flops on and a board shorts. And I thought, that guy's cool. But listen, when you dress a certain way, you act a certain way. When you're casual, you be casual. When you're wearing a suit or you're formal, You have, when you're formal and you're out of formal, you have polite actions about you that you don't normally do when you're wearing your flip-flops, right? So listen, put off the old man and put on the new. Put on Jesus. It will affect you. The third thing is the presence of sin. The presence of sin. In Isaiah chapter 20, the nation had the presence of sin and it cost them dearly. It cost them great judgment. Generically, according to the Bible, sin is universal. Generically, sin has permeated, according to the Bible, everything. Everything, both spiritual and natural. But specifically, regarding the presence of sin, specifically, sin is not universal to our care tonight. It is personal. It's something that we battle. We have to be on guard against sin. It's out for us. But we can disarm the power of sin's presence by confronting it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, and this is the New Living Translation, stay alert, watch out, for your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Wow, this is the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Stand firm against the devil. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Confront it. Don't give in. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen to this. Boy, this is encouraging. Get ready to write this down. Are you guys okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. We all get hit by this world. By the way, temptation does not come from God, okay? Trials come from God. Temptations are not a trial. Temptations come from this flesh, the world, and Satan. Trials are engineered by God. One stay away from, the other one embrace. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Someone, church, listen, you need to master this verse. I'm being tempted, I'm being tempted. Hey, God's not going to let you be tempted beyond measure. He's watching. He's making sure the enemy can only go so far. He told Satan, you can only go this far with Job and no one crosses that line. So don't give in and then blame it on God. Run from it. Run. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust. Run. The word flee is the word we get for a person who is escaping. A fugitive is where we get that word. Be a fugitive to youthful lust. Run from it. Number four, the effects of sin are absolutely devastating. For time's sake, I'm going to fast forward this. The effects of sin, nobody sins in secret. First of all, God sees. Second of all, the angels are watching. That ought to freak you out the next time you try to do something in private. Angels are right there watching. How's that? I'm alone, dude. No, you're not. There's some big, big angels standing there. They're there. They're everywhere. That ought to ruin your... But sin, the effect of sin. I wrote some things down here. It's going to sound a little laborious, but I wrote it down because it's such a reality that's happening across this nation, if not around the world. When a man or a woman breaks their vows of marriage, that sin sets in motion the wheels of 1,000 other sins to follow. If the marriage breaks up, and there are children involved, the children's faith in God will often be damaged to the point sometimes beyond repair. They and their children will suffer deep emotional scars and soul trauma. They will find that in the future, it becomes hard, if not impossible, to fully trust another human being again as they ought. When the opportunity comes for them to establish a real, meaningful relationship with someone that they love, they will be less successful at the duration of the relationship because of the pain of the baggage and the fears that they bring into what could have been a beautiful, powerful, productive marital relationship. I wrote that down because I didn't want to blow it. That's exactly what's happening today. The effects of sin. It's not private, it's public. I wrote this down. Laboriously, I read it. When we sin, we do not sin against God and others and ourselves alone. Sin, if left unchecked, can cause spiritual blindness within our hearts and minds, which hides the goodness of God and the favor of God and the blessings of God for generations. The Bible becomes unimportant to us, and we slowly, silently begin to drift away from the things of God and God Himself and the fellowship of His family, the church. We just back off on going to church. We just back off a little bit on reading the Bible. And then it just drifts away until someday you wake up and you realize you're not around other brothers and sisters. You haven't been to church in a long time. You haven't served God. And what has happened? The effects of sin are destroying your life. The third thing I wrote down, and it's laborious to read, but it needs to be said. When we sin and allow the effects of sin to hang on to us, we then begin to strive with God and justify our own situation. We dig our heels in. Second, we begin to actually war against others that are around us. Strife begins to set in. We're at war with God and we're at war with others. Pride seeps in as well. And self begins to divide the family, the friends, and the fellowship. The effects of sin. To disarm that, God says to recognize that the other you is now dead and the new you lives. To disarm the effects of sin means that we seize hard unto the promises of God. To disarm the power of sin's effect, don't feed the flesh. We cannot keep feeding the old nature and think we'll have victory. The awesome thing is, the Lord has given us His power, and we end right here. The results of sin, the Bible says, is death. We all know that from the book of Romans, right? But here's the good news. The results of sin is destruction, but how do we disarm it? Here it is. Please commit this to memory. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounds, say it louder, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Oh my goodness. What does that mean? Oh, Pastor Jack, you know this, that, and the other. I understand that. We all understand that. Here's the deal. If you will but turn to Him, His grace abounds more. And therein is the secret to disarming the power of sin. God's grace empowers you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today, and don't forget that sin leaves a path of destruction, but God's grace can lead you through it. Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's something that's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener, or maybe you're brand new to Real Radio, wouldn't it be great if you could just kind of sit down and chit-chat with Pastor Jack? Well, you kind of can, because Pastor Jack has just started a brand new podcast. This is awesome. It's like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, all sorts of different subjects. Just search for the keyword Jack Hibbs, J-A-C-K-H-I-B-B-S, in your favorite podcast app, and look for the new Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. It's sort of like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Check it out. If you need more info, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, to get there quicker, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/talk, and you'll see it right there. Go get that brand new podcast, Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like it. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.